All right. The first thing that you need to recognize very clearly as we've discussed this whole way of life that God has been challenging us about is this, that this way of life is not possible. Right? All of me for all of them. That I would truly live every moment of my day with this agenda of God driving my life, self out of the center, God and His agenda in the center. You can't do it. And if you're one of those even who stood last night and said, I want to commit all, you need to know that you can't. No one of us can live this way of life. It is not possible. Probably about 25 years ago when I was living in America, there's a hamburger chain in America that we don't have in Australia called Wendy's. Anyone ever eaten at Wendy's? Okay. They make great hamburgers. They have square meat instead of round meat. And back then, there was a very effective set of advertisements put on by Wendy's that really became part of American lingo and culture. In these advertisements, there was a little old white-haired lady who would go into the other hamburger places, and she'd order a hamburger, and she'd sit down at her table. She was one of these kind of sour kind of ladies. She'd sit down, and she'd pull the top off the hamburger, and she'd look at it, and she'd say, "Where's the beef?" And all these commercials, it was really captivating, because their big thing was they had the big piece of beef on their hamburgers, and all the others, it seemed like the meat kept getting smaller and smaller. And so it became actually a part of American lingo that when someone makes a promise or claims something and you think, oh yeah, where's the reality in it, where you just say, where's the beef, right? Where's the beef? So when we're talking about this way of life and all that the Bible has described for us, much of what the Bible describes the Christian life to be, we look at it, we make commitments about it, and we aren't blowing smoke when we make those commitments. We mean those commitments. We are genuine. We are heartfelt. We're coming to a point of brokenness and commitment when we make those commitments to live this way of life that God calls us to. And even though we mean it with all our hearts, even though with everything in us, we want to live this way, we find that we can't live that way, and we find ourselves asking, where's the beef? In this description of the way of life God has planned for us, where's the beef? Where's the reality? Where does it come from? Because I've tried everything I can think of, and I can't live it. And sometimes we say, what's wrong with me? Why can't I make real commitments? Well, the problem wasn't that your commitment wasn't real. You did mean it. But you can't live it. And you can even come to a place of disillusionment about this all-out way of living the Christian life, where you say, well, maybe, you know, there's a few people we've read their biographies about who lived this way. And the Apostle Paul seemed to live this way, and some other people in the Bible. But it can't happen for me. And so I'm just going to have to settle for this level of Christian living. Well, I want to show you the beef in the message this morning. Come with me to A passage that Chris took us to briefly in one of his messages, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Starting in verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now that verse is the crux of the whole message. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. The as-so principle. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And I want to suggest to you that someone was right with the one word. And that is this little word, in. I agree with you, brother. The one word that most accurately describes our relationship to Christ as believers is that little word, in. And I believe that this was the word the Apostle Paul would have chosen. And so if you've got your pen, be ready to mark in your Bible as we read this passage, and I want you to mark this theme. Just one theme today, and we won't be going to the clouds in our marking this time. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Circle that. Walk in him. Rooted and built up in him. Circle that. Rooted and built up in him. And established in the faith, just as you were taught. Abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, circle it, in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him. Circle it. Filled in him. Who is the head of all rule and authority. In him. Circle it. In him also you were circumcised. And remember, circumcision was how the Jews were set apart from the other people. The men were circumcised, and this distinguished them as Jews. You were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him, circle that, buried with him, in baptism, in which you were also raised with him. Circle that as well. Through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. Circle that. Made alive together with him. Having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Circle it. In him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink. Here again is that legalism. Don't let people trap you in legalism. or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism. That's treating your body badly and thinking that makes you more spiritual. Insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels, going on in detail about visions they've had that validate what they think. Puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head, that's Jesus, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died, circle it, with Christ you died. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you are still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If then, and in the Greek language, this is a certain kind of if that means if, and we know it's true, so you could almost say since in place of if. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, circle it, raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Circle it. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, circle that. Man, do you see this theme? When Christ, who is your life, circle it, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these too, you once walked when you were living in them. But now that you are in Christ, you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Circle that. Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Here's the description of this life that we want to live and find ourselves unable to live. Put on then compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, yes, make your complaint, but forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Circle that. The peace of Christ rule in your hearts,
to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Circle that. The word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Circle that. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Well, it's a lot of verses and a lot of circling. There is a massive theme in this passage, isn't there? All summed up in this foundational verse that we started with, verse 6 of chapter 2. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. So, I want to look, first of all, at some truths about Jesus that we see in this passage. Truths about Jesus. First of all, he's alive. He's alive. Now just for a moment, think about that truth. Okay? Of course, we believe in Easter. Jesus rose from the dead. We like the stories in the Bible, don't we, about Jesus rising from the dead? We like celebrating it. We like thinking about new life at Easter and wearing our bright clothes and Easter eggs, you know, all of this stuff about life. The life of Jesus, new life for us. But stop and remember, Jesus Christ, he personally is here. Right? Not just some great truths about the man who lived back in Bible days, and he rose from the dead, how awesome, but then he went to heaven, and of course we'll go to heaven when we die. And so it's kind of this thing from back then. No, he rose from the dead. He appeared to Mary there after his resurrection. He appeared to all of the disciples. He appeared then to more than 500 believers at once. He appeared later to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, all of whom were thoroughly convinced that the personal presence of the living Lord Jesus Christ continues with us to this day. Jesus Christ himself, not just a concept of Jesus, not just God, Jesus Christ, the person, is alive today. He's here. Right now, among us. The second truth, he is God. Just look there in chapter 2 at verse 9. For in him, in Jesus, the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. John told us in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus, the Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. God himself, God the Son. The one who created this universe. You say, well, I'm not so sure about that, that was God the Son. Well, the very next verse says, the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things came into being by him. And apart from him, nothing was made that has been made. All the fullness of deity dwelt in Jesus Christ. Third, Jesus showed us how to live. He demonstrated to us the nature of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. But he also showed us how a man, because he became a man and lived on the human level during his time on earth, even though he was still God, he didn't call on his power as God. He lived on the human level during his time on earth. And he showed us how a man should live in relationship to God the Father and the Holy Spirit. So that when he began his ministry, he needed the anointing from God the Father. And the Holy Spirit descended on him. And Luke tells us then, immediately following that, he returned from the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And he went from there, a few verses later, in the power of the Spirit. And Peter would tell Cornelius in Acts, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about performing many miracles. He lived as a man depending on God to work through him by the work of the Holy Spirit. He showed us how to live. Fourthly, he is with you. He is with you. We talk about the top line and the bottom line of the covenant, but what about the top line and the bottom line of the Great Commission? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And the bottom line, as you do that, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You embrace my agenda, and you can walk with this assurance. I, alive, God in all his power, who knows how to live as a man in dependence on God, I am with you. Goes and gets even better. He is in you. He is in you, and you are in him. In. Now let's just talk for a minute about a few truths about you. First of all, you have a sin nature in you that keeps pushing the self life. I don't think that I need to spend very long on this point, right? You feel it. You know it. It's that battle. The Apostle Paul talks about it. The flesh, he calls it. The flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, so that you may not do the things that you please. The battle. I find then this principle, Paul says, that there is evil in me, the one who wishes to do good. The wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. Right? You have a sin nature that keeps pushing the self life. Secondly, you have a new nature that wants to live the Christ life. I bet this week, as you've been listening to the teaching, living as exiles, living with God's agenda, that as you've been listening and God's been speaking to you, that there is something in you that is just drawn to that, right? Something in you that says, I want to live like that. I want to be all out for God. That's this new nature that God's put in you. that longs for intimacy with him, longs to glorify God, longs to walk with God. But I bet at the same time, there was something else in you that as soon as we start talking about living a life that is all, that just went, ooh, I don't want to hear that. Right? They're there at the same time. Third, even as a born-again Christian, you don't have the power to live as you should. Okay? Even as a born-again Christian, you don't have the power to live as you should. Listen, you were never designed by God to have that power in yourself. Even Adam and Eve, who were not fallen, didn't have that power. We were designed as people to live in relationship with God, so the life of God is flowing through us. Whenever we are not living the life of God, we cannot live the Christian life. Because the Christian life was only designed to be lived that way. Adam and Eve couldn't live that way, and neither can you on your own power. All right. Keeping on going. Sorry, I meant to be going all through this passage and showing you these things. I'm not going to go back. Okay, you can find them in the passage. Next, you died with Christ. Now, this is one of those things in this passage that you read and you say, oh, that's so awesome. But you say, what does that even mean? I died with him. You saw it all through it, right? You died with Christ. And it's always there in the past tense. You died. Verse 20 of chapter 2, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of this world. Verse 3 of chapter 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died. Again and again he makes this point. And again he makes this point all through his epistles. You died. This is not the point. You need to die daily. This is not the point, you need to die to self. This is the point, you died. Past tense, if you know Greek, it's the aorist tense. It's finished, it's complete, it's not something ongoing. You need to die, I die daily, Paul says in one place. That's not what he's talking about here. You died. When Jesus died, you died. So think about this. It's not just that Jesus died for you on the cross, but you died with him. In God's eyes, you died with Christ. And Jesus' life came into your life, and now you are alive in Christ. That's why your new identity is not in Adam, but in Christ. You died. So let me just ask you this. Sometimes people feel like I've been forgiven, I've been born again, but maybe still at the end God might find that I need to be judged and go to hell. Think about this. The wages of sin is death. God's judgment on us, death. You died with Christ. God looks at your life and he says, I don't need to wait to the end. As he says in John chapter 3, he who has not believed in him is condemned already. We've already broken God's laws. The wages of sin is death. God has already looked at our life and passed judgment. And that judgment is guilty. He has already passed sentence, and that sentence is death. And listen, for those who have been united with Christ, he has already carried out the sentence. You died with Christ. So when you come to the end of life and you face God, what is there that God will do with you? He already judged you guilty. He already passed sentence, death. And he already carried out the sentence. You died with Christ. That guilt is done. As Hebrews says, Christ died once for all. You died with Christ. And you have been raised with Christ. And this is the secret to the Christian life. This is the beef. So how do we put these truths about Jesus and these truths about you together for your life? How do we fit them together? It just comes down to something very simple. Jesus doesn't want you to live the Christian life. That was never the plan. He wants to live the Christ life. And that was always the plan. Let me say it again. Jesus doesn't want you to live the Christian life. That was never the plan. He wants to live the Christ life in you, and that was always the plan. Anytime you try to live the Christ life, you will crash and burn, as you have no doubt already experienced many times. Anytime you allow Jesus Christ to live the Christ life through you, you will find him living his life in you. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. Well, how did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Didn't you have to come to the end of yourself? Didn't you have to humble yourself? Didn't you have to say, God, there's nothing I can do to earn my own salvation? I recognize now it's what you have already done. It's what Jesus has done for me. Didn't you have to, in faith, rely on Jesus Christ to do what had to be done for you to be forgiven and move into a new life with God? Yes. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, not depending on what you could do, but acknowledging that you couldn't do it, and trusting in what he did, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him. Not in your determination. Not in your willpower. Not in your commitment. In him. So, as you learn, and let me tell you this, it is a learning process. As you learn to moment by moment, and this is the maturing of a Christian, learning as time goes by more and more to moment by moment, invite Jesus to live through you and your personality. He doesn't want to squash your personality. He made it. It's beautiful. He loves it. He wants to live through it. As you learn moment by moment to invite Jesus to live through you and your personality, as you learn moment by moment to invite Jesus to speak through you, as you learn moment by moment to invite Jesus to smile at people through you, as you learn moment by moment to invite Jesus to act through you and your personality, as you learn moment by moment to invite Jesus to help people through you and your personality, as you learn moment by moment to invite Jesus, listen, even to pray through you, what do you think it means to pray in Jesus' name? As you learn moment by moment to invite Jesus to minister to people through you, as you learn moment by moment to invite Jesus to forgive people through you, even people who have damaged you deeply that you cannot forgive, to forgive through you, as you learn moment by moment to invite Jesus to resist temptation through you, because since he has faced every temptation as we do, yet without sin, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. As you learn moment by moment to invite Jesus to glorify the Father through you, as you learn moment by moment to invite Jesus to think through you, to witness through you and your personality, to love through you, as you learn moment by moment to invite Jesus to change people's hearts through you and your personality. He will. He will. Let's pray. You need to take a moment here and talk to God about your life. If you were one of those who stood last night to say all, you have got to get a hold of this. If you would say, I wouldn't say all because I've tried so many times and failed, you need to get a hold of this. If your Christian life has been marked by nothing but failure, don't miss what God is giving you this morning. If you've been tempted to hang up the towel and say, it all sounds great, but it just won't happen, here's the beef. You need to just take a minute, maybe a chunk of your drive home, and interact with God about this. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. You just take some time right now and you respond to what God is bringing to you today. thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this beautiful truth this morning. This life-changing, shackle-breaking, freedom-giving, transforming truth. I died with you. Finished. And I have been raised with you to walk in newness of life. Your life in me, the way it was meant to be all along. When we think, Lord, of how long we've struggled to live this life on our own, how frustrated we've been by our inability to live the Christian truths that we know backwards and forwards. How immature we've been, though our knowledge is big, because we haven't learned to live in you. We remember you saying to the disciples, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." And Lord, we know we won't suddenly be able to every moment invite you to live, think, smile, speak, pray, witness, forgive, act through us. But we want to begin applying this principle. We want to begin growing in this. We want to be rooted and built up in you. So we commit ourselves to this process, Lord, of growing in inviting you moment by moment to live your life through me and my personality. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.